Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are going to be talking a little bit about love and what is it? And how do we know if it's healthy? Really, really great questions. When I first started to study this with my mentor many, many years ago, I was actually very surprised at what I learned around this. And I just wanted to impart that a little bit for all of you. I think that it's a really great concept because if you actually sit down and you think about what is love? It's very difficult to isolate it into just one small thing. One of the things that's kind of interesting to know about it is in the English language, we do not have very many words that describe different kinds of love. And other languages actually have a lot more words to describe different kinds of love. But I want to talk, you know, basically about what it is, what it isn't, and how do we know if it's healthy? Because I think one of the biggest misnomers is that if you are in a relationship with another person and it's not a good relationship for whatever reason, it's dysfunctional or maybe they're slightly toxic or something, it's very easy for people to throw things out there like, well, that's not love. And it's like, okay, well, If we start to go down that road, then basically what we find is almost nobody is actually capable of love at that point because we're all slightly dysfunctional. Nobody's perfect. And I would say that that would mean that we're moving from an action of love to an action of not love every day. And what does that even mean? Where do we take that? What do we do with it? It seems like a very complicated thing. And for a long time, it was very complicated in my mind. I didn't understand it. I had a lot, you know, various different people telling me what love was and what love wasn't. And I still hear this a lot today, podcasts, coaches, therapists, love specialists, so to speak. But if you break it down to the essence of what it is, it's really what it is it's harmony. And with the human being, it's basically harmony on three levels. So let's think about when we're in love. Let's start with if we're in love with another person. We are intellectually in harmony, or we resonate with them. We emotionally resonate with them. And then we physically resonate with that person. So we get it on all three levels. And we could also throw spiritually in there too. So that was what I was basically given as kind of a direction to begin to look at what love is, because we all understand the emotion of love. Like when we fall in love with a person, like what the hell is that? It's so intoxicating. It's so powerful. You're drawn to someone. It's one of the most amazing feelings ever. And I think that, you know, we all have the ability to experience that feeling in a really great way, especially if you could go back, like if you can remember the first time you fell in love with someone before you had, you know, any bad experiences, before you maybe you got a little jaded, before you were guarded, when you were emotionally open and that one person walked into your life and it was like, bam, you know, you're hit like with a truck. It's amazing. You know, it is definitely very much like a drug. I mean, it totally releases all those chemicals, all those feel-good chemicals in your body. And I often wondered, you know, what is that? How do we know if we're in love with another person? And that's what I was told. I told that it was if love was resonance. It's resonance on the spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and then the physical level. But here's where it starts to get really fascinating, I think. It doesn't really matter. Like, I'm going to say this correctly so that it doesn't get confusing in a person's mind here. It doesn't really matter if the person is healthy or not, or if you're healthy or not. We all have the ability to feel love. We all have the ability to fall in love with a person. And that doesn't mean that it's okay if you're not healthy, or it's okay if they're not healthy. Like, if you're coming from the perspective or the value that you're always growing, you're working on becoming a better person, you know, that's really a great thing. But very often people get into relationships where they fall in love with somebody and the person's very dysfunctional or toxic. And from a value perspective, from an insight perspective on life, where people are going individually with their own lives, a lot of times those things don't match up. So I want you to think about something. I have this great quote here by Thomas Troward that I think helps bring some context to this idea. And here's what he says. He says, we cannot think into manifestation a different sort of life to that which we realize in ourselves. Now, why am I bringing that quote in? Because I think that what we need to understand is that life as we experience it is very much a mirror for who we are. And it's a huge awareness. Like, that is one of the major shifts that takes place with a person when they start going through life and they start to realize that what they're experiencing is life mirroring back to them their own strengths and their weaknesses and everything in between. So when we fall in love with someone, part of the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, what is it about this person that I'm in love with? And if it's not a person that you want to really be in love with, like if you look at the relationship and you say to yourself, this is not a healthy relationship, maybe there's major issues with this individual. It's a reflection back to you of what's actually going on with you. And I know what you might be thinking right now, yeah, but I don't have the problem that the person I'm in love with has. So maybe the person you're in love with has a personality disorder, or maybe they have a substance abuse problem, or maybe they don't have quite the same values or aspirations or goals that you have, but you still love this person. You still feel love in your heart for this person. You still want to be with this person. You still feel connected on lots of different levels with this person. For eons, that has been cast aside as saying that's not love, that's lust, or that's addiction, or, you know, that's a fear of being alone. I really don't believe all of that. I think it's much too simple to just cast that aspersion over what's going on with you and another individual and say that it's not love. Here's the way that I look at it. And I honestly think that from a productive standpoint, as to the decisions that you're going to make for yourself and the decisions that you're going to make about relationships in your life, that this really helps to look at it the way that I'm about to explain. We look for other individuals in our life that do several different things. One, we look for people that are going to help us increase our life. So you can look at every area of your life. You could look at the mental aspect of your life. You could look at the aspirations of your life. You could look at the hardcore values about what you believe in. You could look at what you're typically attracted to in life. But we also have to look at inadequacies in ourselves, such as maybe we don't want to be alone. Maybe we don't feel very good about ourselves. Maybe we don't have the ability to set boundaries for ourselves to determine what's okay and what's not okay interacting within a relationship. Maybe we're afraid of various different things in our life. We could be afraid of intimacy. We could be afraid of the future. We could be afraid of losing things in our life. Maybe we have associations with security In other words, what makes us feel secure in life and have those things attached to another person, the idea of another person being in our life, or somebody who could take care of us either physically or emotionally or financially or sexually. We also have the idea that maybe family is the thing that makes us feel secure, that makes us feel loved. So if we're, and you could just go on and on with different insecurities that a person has, where maybe where they're intellectually or emotionally not quite as mature as they should be for going into some kind of a long-term relationship. Anyway, the idea would be that we'd be looking for someone that would reflect back to us whatever we're insecure in. And what happens is that the subconscious mind is always telling the conscious mind what to perceive. So it's not going to perceive the things so much that it doesn't want. What it's going to perceive is what it sees in another person that makes you feel secure, that makes you feel loved, that makes you feel okay about yourself. When it's coming from that place, the problem that we have is that we will overlook inadequacies in another person and we won't see them for what they are. Instead of just seeing them for what they are and saying, is this something I want in my life or not? We actually look at them we actually don't look at them and we only see the things that we want to see so that it can cause that feeling of love and security inside of ourselves. So when we look at it from this perspective, then what Troward said starts to become very interesting. So let me read that to you again. He says, we cannot think into manifestation a different sort of life than which we realize in ourselves. So if you look at relationships, your own or those of other individuals, and you think to yourself, why am I always attracting a crazy person in my life? Why am I always attracting a sick person into my life? Why am I always attracting a broke person into my life? Why do I pick people that are, you know, like for women, why am I always picking the bad boys, but they treat me like assholes? For guys, why are you always picking the person that you would like to refer to as a bitch and won't get off your case, instead of people that you're really in harmony with and you can communicate really well? So think about those two ideas, right? If you're attracting to somebody that you're constantly referring to as a bitch, or you're constantly referring to as an asshole, or you're constantly referring to as a jerk, what is it inside of yourself that is causing you not to see that up front in a relationship, but to only see what it is that you want? Because what's fascinating is that when we meet people, generally, when we meet people, especially in a romantic light, most people try to put their best foot forward. They try to show the good side of themselves. I believe that as we become emotionally mature, one of the things that we have the ability to do is to determine how much love we're actually going to allow to fall into with another person. When we fall head over heels in love with somebody, and we really don't know that person, we're just seeing the outer shell that they're actually presenting, which I totally agree can be unbelievably convincing. It's almost like we've thrown all consciousness, all reason, all rationality to the wind. And it temporarily makes us kind of crazy, because those feelings, all of those chemicals pumping through our system, distorts the truth of what's actually being presented to us. And we don't look at these little things, these little pieces of transparency that show up with a person that should be causing questions in our mind. I mean, let's face it, most of the little pieces of information, if we're really thinking about it, if we were looking at a person, if we were helping somebody who was getting into a relationship, and you could sit objectively back and you could look at each individual, there would be things that you would see that would cause questions in your mind if you were emotionally mature and you were a really thinking person, that you wouldn't be so easy to bury or to overlook because you were filled with the emotion of love, you know, pumping through your system. So that would cause you to then ask questions, verify, spend some time to see what is the true character of that individual. When we're not doing that, when we're completely taken over by that love, we don't see it. So if we start to go through life and we start to develop some emotional maturity, we really put some thought behind this, one of the interesting things is we could create a value for ourselves that says, I'm not falling head over heels into love with anyone until I verify this is a person that is worthy of me giving my love to. And it's a person that I can trust, and it's a person that meets all the other criteria in my life for where I want to go, who I want to be, what my aspirations are, the quality of the way that I want to live my life day in and day out. Because so many, like if all you have to do is talk to people on a daily basis, and if you get them talking about relationships, one of the things that you hear very much out there is the toleration and resentment that people build on over the years because they got in a relationship with or they married someone who took their breath away in the first few minutes of the first date or you know, shortly thereafter, and they got into the commitment stage of the relationship. And once they got into the commitment stage of the relationship, they got more committed. Many people have actually told me they knew walking up the aisle that they were making a mistake. But because they were so far committed and they were worried about what other people would think of them, they went through with it anyway. And like, I mean, if you really think about that, you're making what most people consider a lifelong decision. You're walking up the aisle to your marriage. Every alarm bell inside of you is going off, going, this is not the right person. You've got a mountain of evidence that says that this is not the right person. But because you've so committed, you don't know how to set a boundary. You don't know how to stand up to what other people think. You're going to go through with a lifelong decision in the name of love. Somewhere thinking this person's going to change, or I could change this person, or it's not that bad. It'll be okay. And in bad scenarios, it could turn out to be really bad. If you married somebody who was abusive, or you married somebody that had an addiction problem, or was a philanderer, like it could be really, really bad because, you know, it's not just the agreement of a relationship. People combine their lives, they combine their assets, they combine the hopes and dreams of the future. Everything gets tangled up in this relationship. And then when it starts to go bad, if we're not careful, we can begin to lose all those other things that got tangled in the relationship. Not to mention, if you bring children into the world with and through that relationship. And a lot of this can really be prevented if we understand what love is from the very beginning, and we understand how to consciously proceed through the emotion of love and through the idea of the relationship with someone, really making sure that this is a person that you want to choose to be with for a long period of time. So let's talk about that a little bit. The first thing that I think that a person needs to do is they really need to understand their own values. What they want in life, what they don't want in life, what's important to them, how do they want to live their days on a regular basis? Do you have a value of personal professional growth, personal professional development as a hardcore value for yourself? Meaning that it's very important that you're always growing in life. You're constantly working on yourself, not from a place of like, everything is wrong, but from a place of just, constant improvement throughout your life so that you're getting better, you can contribute more, your life is better, your life is healthier, you're more productive, you're a happier person, you're accomplishing and achieving the goals that you want in your life. Many people don't have that as a value, and they get in a relationship with someone It's never even discussed. And then at some point in time, one person decides that they want to start growing and doing things different and experiencing different things. And the other person's not having it because their insecurity in life was safety and security. So when a person starts to change, that represents insecurity and not being safe to the person who wants to be safe. So that causes great contention in the relationship. I've literally seen people back away from their own growth, back away from their dreams and aspirations because their spouse was not having it. Instead of realizing that they had reached a place in the relationship where they really needed to start looking at, do we have the same values and desires to be able to go through this from a lifetime perspective? Or did it meet some need inside of us both? And then amicably saying, okay, you know, it's time, this relationship neither serves both, doesn't serve either one of us at this point. It's time to separate it and begin to move on. Because that's when the relationship becomes unhealthy, when the values start to change, or they were never there to begin with, and you just didn't know they were there to begin with because you didn't talk about it. If we're coming from a place where we really want love or we really want to be with someone, from whatever the pressure might be, there are so many different pressures out there as to why we should be in a relationship or why we need to have children or why it's you're looked at awkwardly if you're single or you're not in a relationship. Like there's a lot of judgments around not doing those things because they're so common. And if we start to feel any of those pressures, even our own insecurity around being alone, then we have a tendency to overlook things that don't seem to be important in the immediate when we first get into the relationship, and we try to push them under the rug and play the happy game face, and then later on we find out that those things were actually extremely important and we never really looked at them. So finding out what our own values are, I mean, there is a lot to be said for living a little bit before you get into a long-term relationship, really getting to know yourself. I did not do that when I first got married. I didn't know myself at all. So I'm talking about, having experience looking backward. You know, my recommendation to any person would be that they really get to know themselves before they commit to sharing their life with somebody else who probably doesn't know themselves either. Because the one thing that's going to happen is that people are going to change over time. And if there's not a commitment together to that people don't have to change at the same time in the same way in a relationship, but they have to have the same value of change. They have to have the same value of growth in order to make that work. And what it also does, though, is when the values, when you know yourself and you're looking for somebody with the same values as you have in life, it keeps us in a place of love from the spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical standpoint. Because we're staying in harmony, we're staying in that agreement that we have with the other person. One of the tragic things that I hear from some people is that a person put on a really good face of who they were, they got married, and then they come to find out that the whole thing was a charade, and it's not who they thought this person was at all. And then the real person comes to the surface, and we find out we don't even like that person. So it's very possible to fall in love with an illusion. Let's put it like that. If a person is behaving in a way, and manipulators are really good at this, right? So you get your cluster B disorder people, you get your people that are mentally unstable, you get your people that are addicts involved in this. What they become really, really good at in life is manipulation of others in order to get the things that they want. That's why they're disordered people. So when they do that, they have ability of discerning very, very quickly what it is that you're looking for in a person, and they become that person. They become a mirror image of that person that you want, and you fall in love with that mirror image, not even realizing that that's what it is. And then once the commitment is done, then they switch, because now they have what they want. They have you. They have the security they want in you. So that's when the craziness comes out. That's when the abusiveness comes out. That's when the disorders come out. That's when the addictive behavior comes out. That's when the philandering comes out. And somebody taught me one time, when somebody shows you who they are the first time, believe them. It's one of the, I don't know who's created that quote, but it is one of the best quotes that I ever heard. And it's actually a value for myself. Like, I do that when I go into any relationship. If a person shows me that they're not trustworthy, that they don't have the same values or ethics that I do in my life, I don't judge them. I just don't want anything to do with them. I don't want them to be in my life. I know my values. I know what my ethics are. I know where I'm going in my life. And I'm looking for people that meet that standard, because together we can all do something really great. If you allow an unhealthy person into your life, one of two things is going to happen. Either they will become like you, or you will become like them. And the tragedy in this is that probably 99% of the time, the healthy person becomes like the unhealthy person. And here's the reason. There's an old saying, you can't make sense out of crazy, meaning that an unhealthy and disordered person does not really come from a logical viewpoint about hardly anything in their life. And a healthy person is always trying to make logical sense and find solutions, progress moving forward. The unhealthy person's not looking to do that. They want things to stay the same. They want to bring drama. They want to bring turmoil. And in some cases, they actually want to hurt people. You cannot make sense out of crazy, meaning that even though as hard as we want to try to make sense or point out to this person why what they're doing is unhealthy, they don't see it. And because they don't see it, it makes no sense to them. And it makes it very difficult for the healthy person to really sit back and go, here's what we say. I don't understand why they don't see this. I don't understand why they keep doing this. Here's the problem they keep having over and over and over again. Why can't they see the sensible solution in this? Because they're disordered. That's why we call them disordered. Their mind does not think the same way that a healthy person's mind does. So they don't have the ability, put it that way. They just don't have the ability. So they default back to their own unique brand of craziness, and eventually it wears the healthy person down, and they end up either staying the same or getting worse themselves. So it can be pretty simple. It takes work. There's no question about it, but let's think about it like this. Get to know yourself. Really find out what your values are. Find out the way that you want to live your life. What are your ethics? What are your aspirations? What are your goals? What's important to you? You should know all of these things. How you want to live your day. What do you want futuristically in your life? How do you want to communicate with someone? Sex is a big one. Like, how are you a very sexual person? Are you not a sexual person? Do you love sex? Do you love kinky sex? Do you love normal sex? What kind of sex do you like in your life? Because sex is a big deal when you're in a relationship with another person. It's you have to be in harmony on all these levels. So spiritual, intellectual, emotional, and physical. And when you understand all of those areas of yourself, and you're very confident in having the conversation with someone to see if they're in the same place, and then not adjusting one because you love the person, but they're not on the same page as you at all. In one of those areas. When you do that, you can find a healthy person to get in a relationship with. You can experience what healthy love is versus a dangerous or toxic or an unhealthy love, because I believe that there's really both there. And you can be very happy with that idea in your life. So it comes down to the idea that you have to love yourself first. You have to love yourself first. You have to be willing to put yourself first in your own life before you bring someone else in your life where you're going to actually share that with another person. Hope you got a lot out of this. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.